Welcome to Kosher Tidbits. This edition is dedicated to the memory of my father, Harav Reuven Hertz Ben Avraham Bendelstein Zachreinu Livracha, of blessed memory, whose 22nd Yahrzeit anniversary is observed today, the 8th day of Shavat. This tidbit talk entitled, Of Factories and Faith, Seeing the Hand of God, is quite befitting for my father, who through his brilliant erudition in Torah and worldly matters, and stunning menschlichkeit or chivalrous comportment, was a fortress of faith in God and a model of inspiration to the Bayonne Jewish community and the world Jewish community at large, for whom he served with distinction as rabbi and Jewish communal leader for over 4 decades. A number of years ago, a certain individual who was attending one of my adult Jewish education classes approached me after class one night to ask me a question. Before this individual could say anything, it was clear that there was something bothering him very much. This person is a very accomplished physician who at that time needed to talk to someone for advice about something that he found to be quite disturbing. For some reason, he chose me to be the one to rescue him from his troubles. I was hoping that with God's help, I would be true to the task to put his mind at ease. "Rabbi," he began his piece, "I've been having a terrible dream that's been haunting me for nights on end, and I haven't been able to get any sleep. I am so weary and tired. Could you, Rabbi, please interpret my dream so that I can at last get a good night's rest?" After hearing these words of introduction, I began to think to myself that who am I to interpret dreams? I've never interpreted dreams before. It had occurred to me that perhaps it would be best for me to just politely tell him that I've never before interpreted dreams, and I would not know where to start with his dream. But by looking at his drawn and tired face at that time, I knew that such an answer would have devastated him. He needed an interpretation to his dream to put him out of his misery, and for some odd reason, he needed me at that time to do just that. I felt very nervous about this, but I knew I could not let him down. I prayed to God in my heart for the best, so that I should succeed in making this very good and decent person feel better. So I began by saying that interpreting dreams is not one of my specialties, but at any rate, please tell me what the dream is, and with God's help, I will try my best to interpret it. He then began to tell me his most troubling dream. "Rabbi," he said, "I've been dreaming for several nights now of walking into a main sanctuary of a synagogue and making my way ever so slowly towards the Aron Kodesh, Holy Ark. At once, I find myself right by the Aron Kodesh, and I carefully pull the string to open the drapes that cover the Aron Kodesh. Rabbi, I can't say it, but do you know what I find in the Aron Kodesh after I open the drapes?" "What?" I asked. Trembling, he tells me that there is nothing in the Aron Kodesh. "Rabbi," he begins to cry, "the Aron Kodesh is empty. The Holy Torah, the scriptures that should be inside, are not there. Rabbi, please tell me why there are no Torahs in the Aron Kodesh. What does this dream mean?" At that moment, almost like a bolt of lightning, I am hit with an inspiration, a brainstorm. I feel that God has listened to my prayers and has revealed to me the interpretation of this dream in order to help this precious but dejected soul. I then told him that I believe the meaning of the dream is that the empty Aron Kodesh is symbolically indicating that his soul is spiritually empty. It is thirsting and yearning for more of God and Torah to be brought into its life, which it now is deficient of. I suggested for him to find more time to devote to Torah study. As soon as I offered this interpretation and suggestion, a bright, cheerful smile began to radiate from this once forlorn face. He couldn't thank me enough for giving him direction and now enabling him to sleep peacefully. I'm not sure if I did as much for him as he did for me. I began to think of his dream more and more. To be fair, this is not an isolated case. It has happened to me too sometimes, when I should be acknowledging God's presence, and I don't. How many times have I taken so many things for granted and found only an empty Aron Kodesh, not ever realizing that God and the Torah is guiding all that happens and all that takes place around us, mere mortal beings. Being involved in Kashrus, I am grateful to experience the Torah being brought into my Aron Kodesh and to sense Yad Hashem, the hand of God, working in this world which we all live. You may be wondering, how kosher food reinforces faith in God? To address this excellent question, I would like to cite a few examples. For starters, let's take a look at peanut butter. Has anyone stopped for a moment to think of the miracles of this product? To put it into perspective, one particular OU Kosher certified company is proud to make the claim that it makes in 1 week enough peanut butter to cover 8 football fields a foot deep. Doing the math, this means that since a football field measures 100 yards long, then 8 football fields would be 800 yards long, which translates into 2,400 feet, or almost a half mile. Imagine, instead of snow, peanut butter descending from the heavens and blanketing a main thoroughfare like the entire span of the Delaware Memorial Suspension Bridge, which roughly measures a half mile. Imagine, too, walking this entire bridge in peanut butter that's almost up to one's knees. And if that's not good enough, in order for the footprints not to linger for too long, imagine replenishing the old peanut butter with a fresh coating of peanut butter a foot deep and a half mile long every week. Can anyone begin to fathom the amount of peanuts that would be needed weekly to provide for this extraordinary output of peanut butter? Just a mild estimate puts this in the hundreds of millions. Isn't it amazing that we have not yet exhausted the world's supply of peanuts in order to make all this peanut butter? I find this inspiring and recognize in this divine providence, and so my faith in God is reinforced. Then there was the time when I had the good fortune to talk to the non-Jewish president of a company for which I administrate their kosher program. After discussing with him certain kosher procedures that needed to be implemented, he turned the conversation to a personal one. He asked me if I knew his age. I said I did not. He then told me that he was 69 years old, but he feels like 35. I told him that's terrific to be that old and feel that young. He then asked me if I would like to know his secret for staying and feeling so youthful. I said, okay, and he told me, Rabbi, it's important to always stay active and eat the right foods, such as olive oil and kosher. He said his father lived until 101 years old because he would only buy kosher chickens from the Jewish butchers in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, where he lived. Also not too long ago, another one of my contacts who's not Jewish wrote to me the following: production rules that ensure quality, consistency, and meet the legal requirements of our industry are very important. But kashrus is God's rules to the Jewish people and are much more important to me than man's rules. It is well known that most companies seek kosher certification in order to bolster their businesses and penetrate the largest of markets in which kosher has an enormous share. But in addition to the new business, there are those that feel a great respect for working together with kosher. They feel that they're doing a very holy thing. Let's just think about this for a moment. These are non-Jews who are working in commercial bakeries talking, One is talking about attributing his youthful spirit and longevity of life to kosher, and the other is writing of the deep, sublime value of kosher as being God's rules, while at the same time he is writing how proud he is to be of service to the spiritual cause. These non-Jews profoundly sense God's presence in their work with kosher. While my kosher-related work experiences have been truly a source of great inspiration in beholding the manifestation of God's glory, there is a solid connection in halacha or Jewish law between food manufacturing and faith in God. This is based on a passage in the Gemara Brachos, Daf Lamed Ches Amid Aleph 38a. The Gemara there comments on the bracha or benediction recited over bread, which is Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, Bless thou, O God, King of the universe, who has brought forth bread from the earth. The Gemara considers that perhaps the proper bracha should be Motzi Lechem Min Haaretz, without the definite article hey, as opposed to Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. In conclusion, the Gemara offers a proof to the latter version by citing another pasuk or verse that includes the definite article. This pasuk is from Parshas Ekev, where we read, Hamotzi lecha mayim mitzur hachalomish, who brought forth for you water from the rock of flint. Other than the use of the definite article and the past tense usage, there is a question. What is the connection between the verse which describes water being brought forth from the rock and bread which is brought forth from the earth? A second question that is raised by Harav Yechiel Michal Epstein in his magnum opus Aruch HaShulchan is, what does it exactly mean that God has brought forth bread from the earth? After all, bread does not appear suddenly from the earth. It is manufactured by man using the earth's resources. To these questions, the Aruch HaShulchan answers that in fact the bread that we perceive as being manufactured by man, in truth emanates from God and is no different than the time when the Jewish people wandered the Sinai desert and were sustained from the water that came forth from the rock. Just like the water that came forth from the rock was a miracle, so too the bread that is manufactured from the earth's resources is a miracle and a manifestation of God's divine providence. And so the blessing that is recited over bread, and for all that matter, all blessings in general, are to acknowledge and realize that the food and bounty that we are enjoying is not happenstance, but is in fact God's ordained will. Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, writes in Mishlei, the book of Proverbs, Bichol derochecha da'ehu, in all your ways know him. It is axiomatic and fundamental in the Jewish belief that God's providence abounds and is manifest throughout the world and in all that mankind labors for. As God's most cherished creation, mankind's task, then, is to palpably feel and sense this godliness in all that surrounds us. Working closely with the factories that make these products is like filling my Aron Kodesh with the Torah and bringing me closer to God by seeing the wonders of His creation. Kosher has certainly afforded me this grand opportunity, and the blessings I make over food are also that more meaningful. Thank you for tuning in to this edition of Kosher Tidbits, and please remember, when it comes to the highest quality of kosher, always check the package for the world's premier kosher symbol, OU.